Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, three-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is a Friar Friday here on 97.3 The Fan. The Padres and the Boston Red Sox coming your way at 4:10 this afternoon with the 3:10 EcoWater SoCal pregame show. And as we do each and every Friday at 9 a.m., it is time for our Manager's Report with Mike Schilt, brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It's better. And joining us from Boston, Massachusetts, the manager of the Padres, Mike Schilt. And Mike, I just have to say, this last week was very impressive for your team to deal with the setbacks of injuries at the end of a long stretch of games with almost no days off, to play like you did through those last two series, especially against the Washington Nationals. I know you tip your cap occasionally. I'm going to tip my cap to you and the San Diego Padres, sir. What a nice week that was.
Yeah, it was a good week. Guys played well, and contributions throughout, and it was a really good week, and now we build on it and move on.
You know, he's just buttering you up, Skip, because I was going to ask you, how close is the nearest Chipotle to your hotel?
Man, you guys staying with the theme. I actually did not get Chipotle yesterday. I got Five Guys, so I went really off the chart.
Oh, like all right. Five Guys is good. It's pricey, but, you know, you're a major league manager. You have a per diem. I'm assuming that's pretty good. No, you know what? The first thing I thought of, that series, obviously, was
it was electric.
It was electric. It was wild. It was like a baseball fan's dream. I mean, it really was. It had everything. But when I saw you get ejected the other day, the first thing I thought of was, all right, John Boy, I want to see this ejection on the next time I open Twitter, because that was pretty electric, Skip.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot in that series. Obviously, a lot to unpack.
So much,
you know, the whole homestand was pretty special. I created a lot of memories at Petco, but yeah, man, that was there was a lot going on. That ejection was, in my world, you know, unnecessary relative to the situation, but. Anyway, made my point.
100%. And I did want to ask you, after the game, you know, cooler heads prevailed and everything, you know, you had said, I don't necessarily think it was intentional in that case. And I mean, listen, I don't know it from Adam. I thought immediately as a fan was, oh, yeah, he did that on purpose. What did you see or based on, you know, your experience, what made you think it wasn't intentional from Mackenzie Gore? Not that it matters now, but
I don't know. I mean, I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. I watched his reaction. I mean, you can feign a reaction.
Sure.
You know, I get that part. Like I said, McKenzie, I got to know him when he was with us and have a lot of respect for him. And, you know, actually got to know his parents a little bit. We're both live in the same part of the world in Eastern North Carolina. So, after everything, whatever point they feel like they needed to make, which, again, don't want to overly revisit it, didn't particularly understand it, but, you know, I got my own club to think about. They made, you know, their catcher made it. And, you know, we clearly exchanged words and people came out and, you know, did the dance. And at that point in my world, it's over. Now, whether he still, after all that, decided to hit him, only he and maybe a couple people in that club really, really know. But, you know, I'd hate to think that was the case, but I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. But either way, intentional or unintentional, he's got to go. And somehow, after all that, and the warnings get, you know, issued, somehow he gets hit and he gets to stay in the game. And I got to go.
I mean, 100%.
Anyway, we overcame it.
It's not just you can't throw at him intentionally. It's like you better make sure you don't hit him, whatever
right.
you do. And
right.
if you
On
do, you are
pitch.
Now responsible for whatever happens. I totally agree, Mike. Mike Schilt is with us here on 97.3 The Fan. I've got a question, and I don't know, as a manager, when you guys get, you know, bad news about, you know, Tatis and the stress reaction and Yu Darvish not going to be able to come back, How do you address that with your team? I know you got pros and they're used to dealing with injuries and stuff like that, but how do you not let that become a, here we go again, like, that's more bad news we got to deal with? What do you do as a manager when those things come up during a season?
I mean, they come up. I mean, I think the public, at least for me, there's not like these team meetings, like,
yeah,
you know, they're just not. I mean, you know, we've been in the game a long time. Unfortunately, you know, injuries happen. Like I said, you know, losing Toddy and Joe and Bogey and you and some of the gang, Manny at certain times, you know, it's disappointing. It's a challenge, but you know, that's ultimately what this game's about, how you respond to challenges and, you know, want to support those guys, but you know, really you just, you continue to figure out a way to compete with the group that you have, and everybody is locked in to you know making sure they are ready to contribute, and of course some roles change and people get opportunities, and that's what this game's about, and it's about seizing the opportunity.
No question. And one of the guys that has done that, talking to Mike Schilt here on Ben and Woods this morning, one of the guys has done that is Kyle Higashioka. What a joy it's been to watch him play. I know he had a tough situation thrust upon him when he got here. Took him a little while to get going and get some ABs, you know, because Campy was in there and he was catching Waldron and wasn't getting a lot of opportunity. Talk about a guy that's made the most of his opportunities right now. And you'd never know if he went 0-for-4 or, you know, 3-for-4 with 2 home runs and 6 RBIs. He's just a very even keeled guy. How much does that help, you know, your pitching staff when he's working with them?
Well, lots of that. So, where do you want me to start?
Just with Kyle, like how, you know, him seizing the opportunity, his kind of temperament too in the clubhouse, and what he's like as a member of the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, he's been a great addition. You know, got a lot of great feedback from New York people, people in the industry I've known, people who played with him, about just you know, how just quality a guy is as a starting point, and then clearly a good player and what his skill sets are, and you know, he's really, you know, stepped up and done a nice job for us. He's a really stoic guy, really smart guy. Got a good IQ. Got a good way about him. Got a good sense of humor with how he goes about things. Just a really, really, really good guy in the clubhouse, but also clearly a good player. You know, and he stayed patient. You know, he got his opportunities early on, not as many as maybe he would have liked. And you know, with Campy being looking to be our everyday catcher and giving him those opportunities to prove his way, you know, in the big leagues and establishing himself as that guy, and then, you know, over the course of time, you know, started to create a little bit more opportunities for him, which he's done more than earn. And of course, with Higgy going on, or Campy going on the IL, you know, creates even more for him. And he's just done a nice job, and clearly some really big hits for us.
He feels like one of those guys as a manager, you know, that he's good. Like, your attention.
Don't need to worry about
yeah,
him.
Like, yeah, like, you don't have to go, like, I don't know. That's just my perception of, you know, we've interviewed him a couple times. He's a great dude, but he just feels like one of those guys as a skipper. You don't have to constantly, you good? Everything okay?
Low pulse rate.
Yeah, yeah. Low heartbeat and just can kind of walk by. Hey, Higgy. Hey, Skip. And, you know, he's in the lineup and doing his job.
Yeah, no, he's great. I mean, we got a lot of guys like that. I mean, we got a really, pretty professional clubhouse that, you know, we just are able to communicate with. And, you know, I spend a lot of time with our catchers, you know, with our pitching coaches, and Brian Esposito does our catching and helps me during the games. We have a lot of communication, and I've enjoyed the communication with Campy and Higgy and now Sully about, you know, how we're leading our staff and how we're seeing the game.
It's good to see Eggy back, Eggy Rosario. Obviously, there was some talk. He's got a great arm, but he's an infielder by trade. And with Toddy out, you might need some spots in the outfield. They said, you know, might work on that. What does that look like, though? I mean, most of the time you get to the big leagues, you kind of know how to play a position. What kind of instruction goes on to maybe get a guy ready to play out of position, so to speak, if you want to get his bat into the lineup, especially against lefties where he really does some good damage?
Yeah, he swings about good against lefties. Had a big swing the other day, you know, to get an inning started, you know, start off a 2-run inning, double off the wall against the lefty. Does really well against lefties. So, you know, we're just trying to be creative in what that looks like, where that back and play, there's always a balancing act between the offense and defense, at least for me. You know, defensive run saves are just the ones, important to the ones you drive in, but you always want to try to get the bat in the lineup to do some damage appropriately. And, you know, perhaps an opportunity for him in the outfield. He's never, when I say never, never played outfield. But, you know, Jackson hadn't really, so, you know, but it's a hard place to just pick up and learn. And, you know, he's getting some work with Dave Macias, our outfield coach, and see what that looks like. And, you know, we'll see if there's an opportunity to present itself to get him out there.
Talking to the skipper, Mike Schilt, here on Ben and Woods this morning. And, boy, you guys haven't had any trouble closing out games when Robert Suarez comes in to, you know, throw 6-9 fastballs by guys and, you know, call it a day. But closing out some of the other games been a little bit of a challenge, Skip. The 8-0 that turned into 8-5 the other day had to make your little bit of hair turn gray for you. You know, how do you?
Did I got a little bit of hair?
Yeah, you got a little bit of hair, right? And the hair that's remaining turns gray.
I thought I got pretty good hair.
I got decent hair, actually.
What? A little bit of hair. It's not great hair, but it's not a little bit.
So for you, when that happens, I mean, it's an empty feeling, certainly, and you want Cosgrove to be able to just get through that and not have to get Suarez up. Would you tell us a little bit about what kind of you're going through with that? It's happened just a couple of times. I know it happens to all teams, but it certainly got to be a little bit frustrating.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you really want me to say. It's happened a few times. I mean, I really don't. I mean, I don't know how to answer the question. So
throw strikes, you get electrocuted. I think
right,
is what he
right,
wants
right,
to hear,
right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah, I think so, man. The ninth inning, you know, could be a challenge to get the last three outs. And, you know, it's the easiest thing in the world, like when people say, oh, my gosh, you know, you got a 4-run lead. Don't use your closer.
Right.
And then you got to use your closer or you give it up, you know. And it's like, you know, so couldn't get it done. They had some at-bats. You know, the leadoff walk didn't help the call. They had 2 C&I hits to the right side. And I don't know. I mean, I prefer to talk about the 8 innings where we didn't give up any runs.
Absolutely.
Really well. But, you know, that's just part of it, man. You know, sometimes those last three are hard to get. We had it in Kansas City. We've had it, you know, earlier in the season, you know, with a 6-0 lead. But we ended up having to use Robert. And, you know, like I said, it's just a people can say what they want about the last three outs, but you know, it's an acquired taste to get people to learn to get them. That's the other point to the conversation. You got to learn it. And that's a learning curve in the ninth that people don't really want to deal with the lead. And so, but if you don't give those guys those opportunities, they don't learn from them. So it's the, you know, that's 22.
See, you crushed that answer. Yeah. You knew how to answer that question.
You know what he's crushed also, Mike? You've always explained how you manage real people in the real world that are, you know, not always feeling 100% or tired. You know, it's a long season. There's not a lot of days off. As fans, I'm a radio host. I manage on paper, you know, in my mind.
Sure.
And I look at the off days coming up. You had one yesterday. You got one Monday. You got two more next week. And I look, well, maybe you could, you know, get Dylan Cease out there. He's pitching so well and move him up a day. How do you look at that in that equation? Is there like no thought, like, I don't want to move him up, I want to give him those extra days off? Or is that something you might look at here before the All-Star break with now the extra off days that you've got coming up?
Yeah, I mean, we'd be irresponsible not to look at it, right?
Yeah.
So we do. Me and Ruben look at it. We partner with AJ in the front office, and we also talk to our players, and it's not a, you know, it's not in a vacuum. Yeah, what can be best for Dylan Cease is X. What can be best for Michael King is Y. What's best for Matt Waldron is Z. You know, Vasquez, Mazur, et cetera. And so, you know, individually you can say, yeah, we could do this with Dylan. Oh, but how does that impact Michael? And how does that impact Matt? And what do we got on Adam and Randy? So, we put it all together and figure out, you know, the balancing act of making sure that, you know, the competition is taken care of, the rest is taken care of, and then, of course, the short term versus the long term of what that can look like. And we do our best we can to balance all that. And we've had some you know, like I say, conversation with them and some internal conversation. Then we put the best play that we can lay out there together with all the variables.
Mike, I really appreciate it. Before you go, any updates on Yu Darvish? I know we saw Xander Bogaerts taking some batting practice before you guys went on the road trip. Just kind of overall general health updates on your team?
Yeah, so, you know, looks like Darvish, the imaging is negative, so it's positive. Nothing overly alarming with that. I do think he was going to seek another image, which is pretty standard. You know, and then it's just a matter of getting inflammation out, which is the biggest culprit, it feels like, right now. Well, it's taking place in his elbow, getting it out, and getting to where he can play catch and recover. You know, the longer he stays away, the longer it's going to, you know, longer he can't throw, the longer it's going to be for him to get back. So no real, you know, great timeline there. Bogey's trending in a really good place. Going to have another scan soon, CT scan that'll determine how much further he's healed. The most recent one was favorable. Looks like he's a little bit ahead of schedule, but the next one will be the one that allows us to determine with him how much he can ramp up. But the good news is he's, you know, he's taking ground balls, he's taking some swings, and then, like I say, relatively the next one will be how much the volume you can take to where you can start to get some live at bats and potentially rehab and get back, you know, working with us. So. Good news on that front. He's with us, obviously, and he's returned to Boston, so I'm sure that'll be bittersweet for him. But I know this organization is going to do something to reward his really productive time here.
Arise back from his ouchie?
We're determined in that.
Determined in that one. Okay. And have fun managing at Fenway Park. I mean, that's got to be kind of special for anybody gets to go in there. It's a temple of baseball history.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, I love coming here, and I'm right here in the dugout right now looking at this beautiful field.
Awesome.
So, life is
awesome.
Good. Very blessed.
All right, well, have a good one.
Thanks,
good series, and keep up the good work. As we said, very impressive week, and we'll talk to you. Actually, 2 weeks. You got next Friday off with the 4th of July holiday, so we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks. Skip.
Oh, you guys aren't working?
No, we're not working.
Yeah, we're taking
a four-day weekend,
of course. Like, you know, we're not baseball players.
We play, and you guys... Country Club. Okay.
Right.
All right. Well,
yep. Believe it.
I'll see you next month.
I'll see you next month.
There we go. All right. All-star break. There we go. That sounds good. Mike Schilt, manager of the San Diego Padres. Absolutely right.
His
yeah,
voice.
We are not. We are lazy.
He perked up. He goes, yes. Oh,
got one.
I don't get those days off.
No.
Just you guys, huh? You take the extra long weekends?
Yep. I guess he's volunteering to do summer break with us then, when he's on his break.
Oh, he will be on
that's
break.
Right.
All right, we could turn this around on here in a couple weeks.
You're taking an entire All-Star break off
really?
Here. What?
Well,
wow.
We're here.
We
took
2 days.
You're taking four. Wow.
You guys aren't playing.
Oh, yeah, we'll throw that back at him.
Oh, yes.
We're talking about Friday. All-Star break's coming up. You know who's working, right?
We are.
That would be us.
Should have him in.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Give him a rundown. 5:30.
5:30.
See you here.
Yeah.
Liners to read. Just the whole shooting match for Mike Schilt.
That'd be so much fun. So much fun. No, he's great. He's great. He gets so mad.
Oh, yeah. What do you want? I love the.
I love. How do you want me to answer?
How do you want me to answer
well,
that?
Well, then you just knocked it out of the park. He had a great answer.
He does.
It's great.
It's his way of saying that's not a well-worded question.
I know.
I know. All right, we'll come back. We'll react to what you just heard. We got a couple of segments left for this week. Looking forward to the weekend, of course. It's Ben Woods. We'll check traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Famous Ill Day in the chat says, it feels like beef between Woods and the skipper. Do you get the sense that there's beef? I think he hates me. I don't think there's any beef. I like him.
No.
Is beef
being yes, actually,
two-sided?
Yes, there is. It's not beef. I think you...
Annoy him.
Yeah, beef means like two going back to forth.
Oh, I love him. Yeah.
You love him.
I love him.
He just hates you.
Yeah, that's not beef.
That's not beef.
Right.
Yeah, of course.
Hey, Mike, do you hate me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
He's honest.
Yeah, sometimes. It's fine. I'm honest, too.
He's not that honest, though. He was holding out on us.
He was holding out on us.
Because apparently the Padres will be making a roster move today. And they already made another one earlier today. First one, as reported by Kevin Acey, Padres will have a new left-hander in their bullpen today. Austin Davis, who's appeared in 136 MLB games for four teams, will come up after a strong showing in AAA as El Paso's closer recently, has allowed four runs in his past 20 innings pitched. Corresponding move yet to be announced. Wouldn't feel great if I was Tom Cosgrove. In fact, yeah. I might not even be with the team if I was Tom Cosgrove right now. You know, he came up after doing a good job at AAA. That ninth inning, though, is not what the Padres need. They need someone who can spare the rest of the bullpen, not force them to get Adrian Morejon and Robert Suarez up and active in the ninth inning when you got an eight-run lead. I could be wrong. It could be someone else. It could be an injury. Don't know. And then what did you just told me? Old friend alert.
Yeah, I was scrolling Instagram, and I saw a picture of Nabil Chrismat in a San Diego Padres uniform, and I went, oh, he's, you know, relive, hey, throwback Friday, flashback Friday when I was on the Padres. And no, it says, I'm very happy to announce I'm back with the San Diego Padres. Looking forward to this new chapter. See you all soon. Interesting.
Major league? Minor league? Don't know. Padres faced him earlier this year when he hooked on with the L.A. Dodgers. Hadn't really been keeping up with Nabil's status, but
got released by them, went to Texas,
I think. He was just released by Texas like 3 days ago.
Looking for a home again, man. Looking for a place that he can get some opportunity to pitch. He's Nabil Chrismat.
Well-liked.
Very well-liked.
In the Padres clubhouse, there's no doubt about that.
We're bringing back all the vibes, guys. Who's next?
Jorge Alfaro. I don't know what the hell happened with him and Bob Melvin at the end of the 2022.
Yeah, something.
But the vibes were strong leading up to the playoffs.
Looks like he's,
So it's a 4:10 first pitch, which means lineups probably around 1 o'clock this afternoon. Probably roster announcements around the same time. Now we know Mike Schilt's already there in the dugout. He said at Fenway Park, getting some early. Soaking in the history of the Green Monster and such early in the day. Yeah, and they always have early meetings for the series opener. You know, you got your hitters and pitchers meetings to go over matchups and who they're going to be facing throughout the series.
Like, one of the main things this team needs is a mop-up guy, and nobody's really snagged that job. Kolek didn't do it. Cosgrove didn't do it.
Now, Kolek has been pitching well lately.
No. In mop-up.
That's true. Yeah. He's better when they actually put him in higher leverage situations.
Leverage, he's been better.
Yeah, good point.
So, Nabil Chrismat, welcome to mop-up duty. He's probably not joining the major league roster, Ben, I would imagine. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with Nabil, but he has posted on his Instagram that he is, in fact, back with the San Diego Padres. We don't know what level. Hmm. We don't know what it entails.
I mean, he's kind of the pitching version of Jurickson Profar.
Yeah.
Always comes back home after struggling elsewhere. He's back home again. What if he really is the pitching version of Jurickson Profar? And he shows up and all of a sudden, Nabil Chrismat rolls off like 42 consecutive scoreless innings or something. That would be Jurickson-like on the mound this year.
Very interesting.
That seems overly optimistic.
It does, but stranger things have happened.
I'm curious to see who's going to be starting out. You could tell from Mike Schilt's answer that he's not ready to be comfortable with Eggy Rosario out in right field.
Correct.
Yet. And there's no lefties in the in the hopper for the opposing pitchers, so they have some time. I would imagine Eggy will mostly serve as a pinch hitter for now against left-handed relievers on this road trip, if he does get an opportunity, but wouldn't expect him in the Sarah Lee. Then again, Bryce Johnson every single day can't really be the answer either, as you're just until Tatis is back. We got Bryce Johnson. He's going to be out there every day. You got to find something a little bit more promising than that.
I bet you see David Peralta in there tonight. You know, get some of the lefties in there. You know, they love matchups and whatnot.
I'm okay with Tyler Wade out there. Good things seem to happen when Tyler Wade's in the game.
Crazy, right? Crazy. What a role he's found on this team.
He has.
Yeah. Yeah. Good player.
If you missed it.
Good role player.
Early this morning, we got to do a mid-season catch-up and chat with our good friend, Major Garrett, from Washington, D.C. Padres fan extraordinaire and chief Washington correspondent for CBS News. We thought it was good enough that we would bring it back here in our final segment of the week, our conversation with Major Garrett, coming up next here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. We've got a birthday boy at the station today. It's funny that you remembered his birthday, but you didn't remember mine last time.
That's true.
And you put it that way.
And you're not even his co-host, and he's only worked here for the last few months.
Yeah,
now he came on our show every Friday for several years.
That's right.
So, I'll give you some credit for that. Just came up on social media, though.
Yeah, I did.
Happy birthday to Craig Elston of the Annie and Elston Show that's following us right here on 97.3 The Fan.
Still can't get over the fact that we forgot his birthday. I'm just not going to put it on me. Exclusively me and Paul.
Oh, yeah.
We totally bricked.
And all the tier ones and my family.
Did your family
forget? It's probably my fault, right?
Did your family forget?
No, they forgot to tell you.
They forgot to tell me.
Yeah.
They
didn't forget my birthday, but they forgot to tell you about my birthday.
Yeah.
And I was actually, my greatest gift I ever received was you forgetting about my birthday.
Yeah, because you have that to lord over.
Exactly. It's the best present I could have gotten. Something to lord over Woods moving forward.
You can literally, anytime you want, just be like, hey, you remember that time that you forgot my birthday? That really hurt.
It always feels like a birthday present when we get some time with Major Garrett.
Oh,
it's 100%. Always an enjoyable Padres conversation. We had that opportunity this morning, despite every busy thing going on in Washington right now. Washington, CBS News chief correspondent Major Garrett with Ben and Woods will bring you that conversation right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, and joining us now, live from D.C., our pal, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, Padre fan we know, Major Garrett. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. How is everybody?
Man, we are good. We are good. Just, needed the night off last night. It's been a whirlwind around Petco Park the last few weeks.
I'm just laughing. You guys had a night off. I didn't have a night off.
No, last night was not a night off for you. I told the guys earlier, I said, I watched 5 minutes, and then I went and I watched Silence of the Lambs and felt I felt a little bit better about the future of our country.
Exactly. Or Full Metal Jacket or something.
Yeah, Full Metal Jacket, exactly. Exactly. How are you, friend?
I'm good. I think, probably where a lot of your audience is. I'm excited about where this team is. I mean, if you'd asked me at the beginning of the season, you don't have Darvish for most of the first half. You don't have Musgrove. You don't have Bogarts. And you've got 44 wins, same as the Braves. Only two teams have more wins than the Padres, the Phillies, and the Dodgers. Would you take that?
Yeah.
And I would say yes.
Good perspective.
Not to mention, dramatically better performance with runners in scoring position, dramatically better performance in close games, dramatically better performance in extra inning games, leading the major leagues in bunt base hits, not a statistic we typically celebrate, but one that's important about how you put pressure on another team. I like where we are. I really do.
Good morning, Major. It is good to talk to you as always. My question to you is, has Mike Schilt been what you've expected he was going to be as the Padres manager?
Better.
Okay.
Better. I fully expected that he would be rigorous on preparation process and team unity, and he has been. What I have been very surprised on the upside with is not only his ability to put that in the clubhouse, translate that from the clubhouse to the field, and then talk to the Padre public about why it's working and not to freak out when you feel like freaking out, because all of us are traumatized by the memories of last year. I know Bob Melvin is a very respected and accomplished manager. I don't want to take anything away from him, but Schilt has a more positive and more direct explanation for what he's doing, why he believes it will work, and why he's not going to be deterred. And for a fan base, I think that's super important. It's not only important for the fan base, it's important for the players to know that the manager has their back and will talk to the public about what's going on in a way that supports them, reinforces them, and is credible. And I think Schilt's very good at all those things.
You know, and it's funny, talking to Major Garrett here, I try. We have him on every Friday. And I try to get him to say, I'm not asking him to be negative or throw one of his guys under the bus, but I will try to get him to say just, yeah, we could improve in that area. He won't do it.
And anything critical.
I do understand the reasoning behind it. And I think Padre fans, a lot of them do as well. You've seen this clubhouse, you know, splinter. The last couple of seasons, you've seen, you know, the like everything fall apart and they go off a cliff. I kind of understand the reasoning of, nope, not going to do it. I'm going to pat these guys on the butt. I'm going to pat them on the back, especially in public. We don't know what's going on behind closed doors. Certainly we're not privy to that, and he's not going to share it. And Manny won't share it, and Jerkson won't share it. They're really tight lipped, this year. That's one thing I have noticed. You're not hearing any whispers coming out of, this guy's mad at this guy. I find that it's quite the opposite.
But I thought Jerickson Profar gave a very important interview to Kevin Acey last week before the Padres got on their good run. And he said the team needs to play better. The team needs to have more leadership and execute better and win winnable games. Profar said that as an emerging team leader. He wouldn't have said it if he didn't believe that Manny would back him up on that and Mike Shildt was okay with that. It's better when the players give that kind of interview, particularly a all-star caliber player as Jerickson Profar undoubtedly is this season. Having him say it and having no one in the clubhouse refute it or talk behind his back or anyone go to Shildt and say, what do you think about that? It all felt consistent, even though it was at the margins critical of how the Padres came off that road trip, deservedly so. That's another dynamic that I think is important and reinforces that this team, for whatever set of reasons, and a lot of it comes to the manager, a lot of it flows to the players, is a much more coherent unit, much more collaborative unit. And look, success reinforces that. You get walk-off wins, you suddenly feel things are possible. You watch other teams walk you off, you start wondering if anything is possible. We've turned the corner on that.
Major, we also all tended to agree that Manny had a big leadership moment when he stepped in with Jerickson, you know, behind home plate with Keibert Ruiz. And I don't know if there's any talk of the other side of this. People are curious, you know, in Washington, D.C., you've got a bunch of things going on, probably other than listening to sports talk radio or commentary on what happened this week. But it felt like a perhaps at least a defining moment for this clubhouse and for Manny Machado in particular as well. What happened against the Washington Nationals earlier this week?
So Nats fans, and I sort of dip in and out of that world. I'm a nominal Nats fan because my kids grew up here in D.C. and I freed them. I said, you have a hometown team. It's a great thing in life is to be able to root for your hometown baseball team. I'm raising you as Padre fans. I'm now releasing you. We didn't have a ceremony, but I kind of communicated that to them, you know. So I dip in and out of the Nats. Nats fans are not big on Keibert Ruiz. They don't think he's a strong defensive catcher. Offensively, he's kind of a wash. And they thought he stepped way out of his lane. And I, for one, do not understand how an umpire in the major leagues can watch a player touch another player at home plate and not throw him out immediately. You cannot do that under any circumstance. You cannot take your mask off, get another player's face, and start poking him in the chest. Why is he still in the game?
Yeah.
And that's why Manny came up, because he saw Jerickson was doing the thing he told everyone afterwards. I'm not going to get thrown out of this game. I'm not going to lose my cool. But Manny came in and said, hey, you can't touch my guy.
I love
it. And then Profar gets hit and everyone, oh, is it intentional or not? He got hit. You gave warnings. Something should have happened. And then you run Shildt. So then Manny is right in this moment where everyone is really pissed off. Everyone is pissed off in that stadium. I'm freaking angry at home,
yeah.
3,000 miles away. First pitch in the seats. Take that and fill in your own expletives. Okay?
Well, speaking of expletives, what Jackson Merrill said about it after was, that's how you effing lead. I'm not saying he had to hit homer, but right there off the bat,
no.
Effing first pitch, ready to go. That's how you effing lead right there. That's effing electric. I love this kid too. I love this kid. You know, you hear when Manny was slumping a couple of weeks ago, all you heard was, oh, he's a terrible leader, terrible leader, terrible leader. And I'm like, man, he's clearly rubbed off on Jackson Merrill. He's clearly hitting the ball better. Maybe he's feeling better. We all kind of knew. Right. I kind of knew it's going to come. You know, he's got it in him. And I think the power is still going to come for Manny, hopefully this weekend. But I thought that was, really special, man. The young.
I mean, it was. Yeah. It was by far the most electric moment of the season. I hope there are moments that will come close to that. But I don't think anything can surpass that in that moment. And look, Major League Baseball lives and dies on the margins of centimeters. A month ago, Manny gets that same pitch and fouls it back.
Yep.
He's just off a tick. That night, he was dialed in, saw it, hit it, and that shows that his work, his progress, is getting him closer to the player that all Padre fans remember and want to see again.
So, Major, now as the calendar switches to July, the trade deadline is coming up in a few weeks, and the Padres, like most teams right now, are going to be in the market for some help. They're not going to be able to afford everything, though. Starting pitching would be nice. Another bullpen arm would be nice. And with Tatis out, you know, for an extended period of time, another bat would be nice. Assuming they can't do all of that, where's your priority lie as a Padres fan?
Look, I am stung. I have been stung the past 2 years by outsized expectations about the players we bring in changing things. And we have to look at Jackson Merrill and take pride in our player development. He's ours. We developed him. He's a star, already a star. Remember that. Not only is he a star, he's cheap, okay? We developed him himself. That's what you get. You don't have to give anything up. You don't have to pay huge free market ransom for a player like that. I don't want to say stand pat because that's not what A.J. Preller is going to do, but I don't want any of our remaining top prospects traded. I just don't. I want them to stay in the pipeline. I want them to believe in their process of player development and harvest them as we did Jackson Merrill. Watching C.J. Abrams reminded me of what a great player he is, how much this roster would be different. And let's be honest. When Bogarts and Tatis and Musgrove and Darvish come back, as we all hope they will, that'll be like making a trade.
Yeah, we hope. I mean, you know, I feel like I've delivered that line to our audience many times as well over the last couple of years. And you know, they bought on the margins last year. That didn't work out. I thought Scott Barlow was fine. But if you could find a way to grab another Scott Barlow, somebody like that that can shore up, you know, the back end-ish of your bullpen, I think that's okay. But when it comes to Salas and DeVries and the huge splashy move, I'm with you. I watched Leo Dallas the other hit his first home run. We talked about it off the air. Pitch up in the zone. Dude, he hammered this thing and then had the emotion, looked at the dugout. Like, I was like, oh, that kid is 17 years old, 18 years old. I've watched Ethan Salas in person. And I thought to myself, no. We need to be patient with these guys. But honestly, after those two, I'm like, all right, we can continue to make moves as long as people.
But everyone's going to ask for those two.
I know.
Everyone's
going to
ask for those two.
I know.
And we just got to say, no, it's not happening.
Yeah,
it's
stand pat. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%.
Major, really appreciate it. I know you've got a very busy schedule with everything that's going on, but I can tell that our listeners were extremely, extremely enthusiastic to hear from you this morning and appreciate your perspective. As always, it's a great one, and thank you so much for your time.
I'm always here for you guys.
Thank you, brother. Love you, man. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Great stuff with Major Garrett. Fun conversation as always. And by the way, we're talking about that National Series. Just had some news during that replay that the Nationals are set to promote former Padre prospect James Wood. He's going to make his major league debut, they say, on Monday, which I think is polite that they didn't do it last week and bring him right up and shove him in the Padres' face. C.J. Abrams is doing well. Mackenzie Gore is doing pretty well. You can't say that the Nationals did poorly in the Juan Soto trade. If they had to trade Juan Soto, they've done pretty well with the pieces they got back, and this will be another big addition for them going forward.
So. Yeah, I mean, better than we have so far, I think, right?
Yeah.
You know?
So, well, I mean, you know, they turned Juan Soto.
We made it into the NLCS in the last 2 years since the trade.
Got to the NLCS, and they've turned Juan Soto into some much-needed pitching. Michael King's been pretty good.
Yeah.
We'll see Randy Vasquez tonight. By the way, Randy Vasquez
was okay last time.
Is pitching a little bit better. Johnny Brito's going to be stretched out in the minor leagues to get in, you know, into some starting. And Kyle Higashioka is the, you know, hottest catching hitter in all of baseball
now. Number two in OPS in the big leagues or something.
In the month of June, he's been incredible. So it's not like the Padres didn't get anything for Juan Soto, and they also had a year and a half of Juan Soto that we got to enjoy and watch. So sometimes trades work out okay for both teams. I mean, could you undo it and have those guys back? Probably would be the best case scenario, but you can't. You move forward and do the best you can with what you had. So that's what we know, and we'll move forward. So, by the way, congratulations. I want to say thank you to the Tier 1s out there. We had John Flynn in earlier. He was raising money for the service animal for veterans, Paws for Purple Hearts, and they reached their goal. And I think it is big. Big credit. A lot of Tier 1s responded, and they made it to their $35,000 goal to be able to train a service pet for a vet facing PTSD here in San Diego, which is very awesome.
How much did you give?
I was on the air. You can't give money while you're on the air.
Oh, you did? Yeah, I gave $100.
We were on the air. My mic was still on, and I was able to make a donation.
I gave my time and enthusiasm.
And your platform.
The most important commodities you can give, Woods. Anyone can just give money. You
know? Right, so, right.
I gave time.
The time.
Enthusiasm.
Effort.
A couple of witty remarks.
Yeah.
Witty remarks aren't free, Woods.
That's true.
They're valuable.
I
used a couple of them to help John.
I think, though, what they were trying to raise, though, was money.
Witty remarks.
You're something else. You are something else.
His face went white when I asked him that. Big weekend plans?
No.
I'm going to try to play some golf. Would you like to play some golf?
Perhaps.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll see what I can do.
Sounds good. We will be back for
not even asking you anymore,
3 days,
Polly.
Next week.
I would love to
play
golf.
Fourth of July holiday.
Precious weekend.
At 6 a.m.?
Birthday boy and Annie coming
up. The street from your house.
Coming up next for Paul Reindl, for Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday morning at 6 a.m. right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody. Got a birthday boy at the station today. It's funny that you remembered his birthday, but you didn't remember mine. Last time.
That's true.
Can you put it that way?
And you're not even his co-host, and he's only worked here for the last few months.
Yeah,
now he came on our show every Friday for several years.
That's right.
So, you know, I'll give you some credit for that. Just came up on social media, though.
Yeah, I did.
Happy birthday to Craig Elston of the Annie and Elston Show that's following us right here on 97.3 The Fan.
Still can't get over the fact that we forgot his birthday. I'm just not going to put it on me exclusively, me and Paul.
Oh, yeah.
We totally bricked.
And all the
so
tier
bad.
Ones and my family. And
did your
and
family
me.
Forget?
It's probably my fault, right?
Did your family
you.
Forget?
No, they forgot to tell you.
They forgot to tell me.
Yeah.
I'm going to need
forget my birthday, but they forgot to tell you about my birthday.
Yeah.
And I was actually, my greatest gift I ever received was you forgetting about my birthday.
Yeah, because you have that to lord
over
me for the rest.
It's the best present I could have gotten. Something to lord over Woods moving forward.
You can literally, anytime you want, just be like, hey, you remember that time that you forgot my birthday? That really hurt.
It always feels like a birthday present when we get some time with Major Garrett.
Oh,
it's 100%. Always an enjoyable Padres conversation. We had that opportunity this morning, despite every busy thing going on in Washington right now. Washington, CBS News chief correspondent Major Garrett with Ben and Woods will bring you that conversation right after traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, and joining us now, live from D.C., our pal, one of the biggest, if not the biggest, Padre fan we know, Major Garrett. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning. How is everybody?
Man, we are good. Just, you know, needed the night off last night. It's been a whirlwind around Petco Park the last few weeks.
I'm just laughing. You guys had a night off. I didn't have a night off.
No, last night was not a night off for you. I told the guys earlier, I said, I watched 5 minutes, and then I went and I watched Silence of the Lambs and felt a little bit better about the future of our country.
Exactly. Or Full Metal Jacket or something.
Yeah, Full Metal Jacket, exactly.
Like
exactly. How are you, friend?
I'm good. You know, look, I think probably where a lot of your audience is. I'm excited about where this team is. I mean, if you'd asked me at the beginning of the season, you don't have Darvish for most of the first half, you don't have Musgrove, you don't have Bogarts, and you've got 44 wins, same as the Braves, only two teams have more wins than the Padres, the Phillies and the Dodgers, would you take that?
Yeah.
And I would say yes.
Good perspective.
Not to mention dramatically better performance with runners in scoring position, dramatically better performance in close games, dramatically better performance in extra inning games, leading the major leagues in bunt base hits, not a statistic we typically celebrate, but one that's important about how you put pressure on another team. I like where we are. I really do.
Good morning, Major. It is good to talk to you as always. My question to you is, has Mike Shildt been what you've expected he was going to be as the Padres manager?
Better.
Okay.
Better. I fully expected that he would be rigorous on preparation process and team unity, and he has been. What I have been very surprised on the upside with is not only his ability to put that in the clubhouse, translate that from the clubhouse to the field, and then talk to the Padre public about why it's working and not to freak out when you feel like freaking out because all of us are traumatized by the memories of last year. I know Bob Melvin is a very respected and accomplished manager. I don't want to take anything away from him, but Shildt has a more positive and more direct explanation for what he's doing, why he believes it will work, and why he's not going to be deterred. And for a fan base, I think that's super important. It's not only important for the fan base, it's important for the players to know that the manager has their back and will talk to the public about what's going on in a way that supports them, reinforces them, and is credible. And I think Shildt's very good at all those things.
You know, and it's funny, talking to Major Garrett here, I try. We have him on every Friday. And I try to get him to say, I'm not asking him to be negative or throw one of his guys under the bus, but I will try to get him to say just, yeah, we could improve in that area. He won't do it.
And anything critical.
Anything critical. I do understand the reasoning behind it. And I think Padre fans, a lot of them do as well. You've seen this clubhouse, you know, splinter the last couple of seasons. You've seen, you know, the everything fall apart and they go off a cliff. I kind of understand the reasoning of nope, not going to do it. I'm going to pat these guys on the butt. I'm going to pat them on the back, especially in public. We don't know what's going on behind closed doors. Certainly, we're not privy to that, and he's not going to share it, and Manny won't share it, and Jerkson won't share it. They're really tight-lipped this year. That's one thing I have noticed. You're not hearing any whispers coming out of this guy's mad at this guy. I find that it's quite the opposite.
Quite the opposite, but I thought Jerickson Profar gave a very important interview to Kevin Acey last week before the Padres got on their good run. And he said the team needs to play better. The team needs to have more leadership and execute better and win winnable games. Profar said that as an emerging team leader. He wouldn't have said it if he didn't believe that Manny would back him up on that and Mike Shildt was okay with that. It's better when the players give that kind of interview, particularly a all-star caliber player, as Jerickson Profar undoubtedly is this season, having him say it and having no one in the clubhouse refute it or talk behind his back or anyone go to Shildt and say, what do you think about that? It all felt consistent, even though it was, at the margins, critical of how the Padres came off that road trip, deservedly so. That's another dynamic that I think is important and reinforces that this team, for whatever set of reasons, and a lot of it comes to the manager, a lot of it flows to the players, is a much more coherent unit, much more collaborative unit. And look, success reinforces that. You get walk-off wins, you suddenly feel things are possible. You watch other teams walk you off, you start wondering if anything is possible. We've turned the corner on that.
Major, we also all tended to agree that Manny had a big leadership moment when he stepped in with Jerickson, you know, behind home plate with Keibert Ruiz. And I don't know if there's any talk of the other side of this. People are curious, you know, in Washington, D.C., you've got a bunch of things going on, probably other than listening to sports talk radio or commentary on what happened this week. But it felt like a perhaps at least a defining moment
for this clubhouse and for Manny Machado in particular as well. What happened against the Washington Nationals earlier this week?
So Nats fans, and I sort of dip in and out of that world. I'm a nominal Nats fan because my kids grew up here in D.C. and I freed them. I said, you have a hometown team. It's a great thing in life is to be able to root for your hometown baseball team. I'm raising you as Padre fans. I'm now releasing you. We didn't have a ceremony, but I kind of communicated that to them, you know. So I dip in and out of the Nats. Nats fans are not big on Keibert Ruiz. They don't think he's a strong defensive catcher. Offensively, he's kind of a wash. And they thought he stepped way out of his lane. And I, for one, do not understand how an umpire in the major leagues can watch a player touch another player at home plate and not throw him out immediately. You cannot do that under any circumstance. You cannot take your mask off, get another player's face, and start poking him in the chest. Why is he still in the game?
Yeah.
And that's why Manny came up, because he saw Jerickson was doing the thing he told everyone afterwards. I'm not going to get thrown out of this game. I'm not going to lose my cool. But Manny came in and said, hey, you can't touch my guy.
I love
it. And then Profar gets hit, and everyone, oh, is it intentional or not? He got hit. You gave warnings. Something should have happened. And then you run Schilt. So then Manny is right in this moment where everyone is really pissed off. Everyone is pissed off in that stadium. I'm freaking angry at home.
Yeah.
3,000 miles away. First pitch. In the seats, take that and fill in your own expletives, okay?
Well, speaking of expletives, what Jackson Merrill said about it after was, that's how you effing lead. I'm not saying he had to hit homer, but right there off the bat,
no.
Effing first pitch, ready to go. That's how you effing lead right there. That's effing electric. I love this kid, too. I love this kid. You know, you hear when Manny was slumping a couple of weeks ago,
right.
All you heard was, oh, he's a terrible leader, terrible leader, terrible leader. And I'm like, man, he's clearly rubbed off on Jackson Merrill. He's clearly hitting the ball better. Maybe he's feeling better. We all kind of knew.
Right.
I kind of knew it's going to come. You know, he's got it in him. And I think the power is still going to come for Manny, hopefully this weekend. But I thought that was really special, man. The young.
I mean, it was.
Yeah.
It was by far the most electric moment of the season. I hope there are moments that will come close to that. But I don't think anything can surpass that in that moment. And look, Major League Baseball lives and dies on the margins of centimeters. A month ago, Manny gets that same pitch and fouls it back.
Yep.
He's just off a tick. That night, he was dialed in, saw it, hit it, and that shows that his work, his progress, is getting him closer to the player that all Padre fans remember and want to see again.
So, Major, now as the calendar switches to July, the trade deadline is coming up in a few weeks, and the Padres, like most teams right now, are going to be in the market for some help. They're not going to be able to afford everything, though. Starting pitching would be nice. Another bullpen arm would be nice. And with Tatis out, you know, for an extended period of time, another bat would be nice. Assuming they can't do all of that, where's your priority lie as a Padres fan?
Look, I am stung. I have been stung the past 2 years by outsized expectations about the players we bring in changing things. And we have to look at Jackson Merrill and take pride in our player development. He's ours. We developed him. He's a star, already a star. Remember that. Not only is he a star, he's cheap, okay? We developed him himself. That's what you get. You don't have to give anything up. You don't have to pay huge free market ransom for a player like that. I don't want to say stand pat because that's not what A.J. Preller is going to do, but I don't want any of our remaining top prospects traded. I just don't. I want them to stay in the pipeline. I want them to believe in their process of player development and harvest them as we did Jackson Merrill. Watching C.J. Abrams reminded me of what a great player he is, how much this roster would be different. And let's be honest, when Bogarts and Tatis and Musgrove and Darvish come back, as we all hope they will, that'll be like making a trade.
Yeah, we hope. I mean, you know, I feel like I've delivered that line to our audience many times as well over the last couple of years. And you know, they bought on the margins last year. That didn't work out. I thought Scott Barlow was fine. But if you could find a way to grab another Scott Barlow, somebody like that that can shore up, you know, the back end-ish of your bullpen, I think that's okay. But when it comes to Salas and DeVries and
the huge splashy move, I'm with you.
I watched Leo Dallas hit his first home run. We talked about it off the air. Pitch up in the zone. Dude, he hammered this thing and then had the emotion, looked at the dugout. Like, I was like, oh, that kid is 17 years old, 18 years old. I've watched Ethan Salas in person. And I thought to myself, no. We need to be patient with these guys. But honestly, after those two, I'm like, all right, we can continue to make moves as long as people.
But everyone's going to ask for those two.
I know.
And we just got to say, no, it's not happening.
Yeah,
it's
stand pat. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree with you 100%.
Major, really appreciate it. I know you've got a very busy schedule with everything that's going on, but I can tell that our listeners were extremely, extremely enthusiastic to hear from you this morning and appreciate your perspective. As always, it's a great one, and thank you so much for your time.
I'm always here for you guys.
Thank you, brother. Love you, man. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Great stuff with Major Garrett. Fun conversation as always. And by the way, we're talking about that National Series. Just had some news during that replay that the Nationals are set to promote former Padre prospect James Wood. He's going to make his major league debut, they say, on Monday, which I think is polite that they didn't do it last week and bring him right up and shove him in the Padres' face. CJ Abrams is doing well. Mackenzie Gore is doing pretty well. You can't say that the Nationals did poorly in the Juan Soto trade. If they had to trade Juan Soto, they've done pretty well with the pieces they got back, and this will be another big addition for them going forward.
So. Yeah, I mean, better than we have so far, I think, right?
They turned Juan Soto.
We made it to the NLCS in the last 2 years since the trade.
Got to the NLCS, and they've turned Juan Soto into some much-needed pitching. Michael King's been pretty good.
Yeah.
We'll see Randy Vasquez tonight. By the way, Randy Vasquez
was okay last time.
Is pitching a little bit better. Johnny Brito's going to be stretched out in the minor leagues to get in, you know, into some starting. And Kyle Higashioka is the, you know, hottest catching hitter in all of baseball right now.
Number two in OPS in the big leagues or something.
In the month of June, he's been incredible. So it's not like the Padres didn't get anything for Juan Soto, and they also had a year and a half of Juan Soto that we got to enjoy and watch. So sometimes trades work out okay for both teams. I mean, could you undo it and have those guys back? Probably would be the best case scenario, but you can't. You move forward and do the best you can with what you had. So that's what we know, and we'll move forward. So, by the way, congratulations. I want to say thank you to the Tier 1s out there. We had John Flynn in earlier. He was raising money for the service animal for veterans, Paws for Purple Hearts, and they reached their goal. And I think it is big. Big credit. A lot of Tier 1s responded, and they made it to their $35,000 goal to be able to train a service pet for a vet facing PTSD here in San Diego, which is very awesome.
How much did you give?
I was on the air. You can't give money on the air.
Oh, you did? Yeah, I gave $100.
We were on the air. My mic was still on, and I was able to make a donation.
I gave my time and enthusiasm.
And your platform.
The most important commodities you can give, Woods. Anyone can just give money. You
know, right, like, right.
I gave time.
The time.
Enthusiasm. Effort. A couple of witty remarks.
Yeah.
Witty remarks aren't free, Woods.
That's true.
They're valuable. I used a couple of them to help John.
I think, though, what they were trying to raise, though, was money.
Witty remarks.
You're something else. You are something else.
His face went white when I asked him that. Big weekend plans?
No.
I'm going to try to play some golf. Would you like to play some golf?
Perhaps.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll see what I can do.
Sounds good. We will be back for
not even asking you anymore,
3 days
Paulie.
Next week.
I would love to play golf. Ahead of the 4th of July holiday. Precious weekend.
At 6 a.m.?
Birthday boy and Annie
down the street from your house.
Coming up next for Paul Reindl, for Stephen Woods, I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you Monday morning at 6 a.m. Right here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long, everybody.
If you want the real story behind the NFL, you need the Stinkin' Truth Podcast. Three-time Super Bowl champ Mark Schlereth breaks down the biggest plays, the biggest games, and the untold stories that make this game what it is. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.